in Acts chapter 10, where we left off last Sabbath. We read up to verse 22. Briefly, we saw the account of a certain man, Cornelius of Caesarea, of the Italian band. He was a soldier. He was a centurion, actually. And he was a devout man. So whenever we think devout, use some of this information about Cornelius to know what devout means scripturally. He was a devout man and he was praying. What time was he praying? He was praying at the ninth hour. And notice the scripture says he saw in a vision evidently about the ninth hour. There's a reason why that's true. It's because those times are important. It's an appointed time of prayer. It's not a man-made time. It's an appointed time. And it's not a time really so much you see by the clock, but it's a time you understand by the motion of the sun. We can't depend on the clock. It's by the motion of the sun. When midday comes, that's the sixth hour. The ninth hour is 3 hours later, and that's like halfway towards sunset about. So anyway, so about three, he was praying. About that point of time, he was praying. And because he was a devout man, because he was praying, Elohim sent him an angel to tell him that his alms were recognized, his prayers were being answered, and that his alms, actually his good deeds, became a memorial. It's sweet incense. It's beautiful to Elohim. We need that. We need to make sure that our works are beautiful before Elohim, a memorial before Elohim. And he received specific instructions by this malach, by this angel, to send for Simon Peter, Simon Kepha. So he was instructed. So he gathered the two of his household, devout soldier, and sent them on. And by the next day, on the morrow, as verse 9 told us, Peter, he was on a housetop. He went to pray. What time was it? The sixth hour. Again, those are appointed times. They're important. That's like the sixth hour is about 12 noon. But again, it's not really clock time. The clock time is approximate. It's when the sun is immediately overhead of you between morning and evening. So let's move on. So he became hungry and he saw a vision. You know the whole thing. He saw visions of unclean things. He was told to kill and eat. He objected. Then the voice told him what Elohim has cleansed. Don't you call common what he has clean. Of course, he was meditating, thinking deeply about the dream. He didn't draw conclusions. He waited on Elohim to know what all this meant. And then the men came, asked for him. The men that Cornelius sent to find Peter went to Peter, asked for him. And at the same time, while Peter was thinking about the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek you. No one told him, no human being. It is the Spirit that told him, not even an angel. It was the Spirit. So the Spirit told him, these are important things. These things are for us. Remember what Peter and the apostles said in chapter 2 of Acts, in the day of Pentecost. These things are for us, for your generations, it's not just something for a set past time. It's for the congregation of Elohim. So these things are for us. To the degree we serve Elohim, to the degree we are devoted to him, to the degree we will receive the blessings, the fellowship. So this is an example of the fellowship of the Spirit, the fellowship of Elohim, the fellowship of the heavenly things. Cornelius, not even yet baptized, experienced the fellowship with the angels. We also see this, I believe, in how Abraham, because he was a hospitable man, angels came to visit him, although he wasn't aware of it. So we can experience those things too. We have great, wonderful things to experience, brethren, if we will set our hearts on them, set our hearts on the things that are above, we will experience these things incredibly. So the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek you. Arise, therefore, and get you down and go with them, doubting nothing. For I have sent them. Don't worry, I have sent them. Then, verse 20, then Peter went down to the men which were sent and unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. So now, speaking prophetically, he knows you're seeking me. I am he whom you seek. What is the cause where you are come? How did he know? Because the Spirit told him. So let's continue verse 22. And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one that feareth Elohim and of good report among all the nations of the Yehudim, was warned from Elohim by an holy angel to send for you into his house and to hear words of thee. So there's a double lesson here. Cornelius needs to learn, and the apostle Peter needs to learn something, because they both received a dream. You see, notice it's not just the Spirit told him, he had seen a dream. What is this dream about? So Cornelius needs to learn what his vision was about. Peter needs to learn what his dream was about. He doesn't know yet. So in learning, both will accomplish great good. I'm going to say that again. In learning the Torah of Elohim, again, this is not written text, it's the word of Elohim. Of course, they have to know the Torah, the written Torah, but I'm saying in the Torah by the Spirit or by the kingdom of heaven, the angels, they have to learn and accomplish good. We'll see what that good is. Let's continue with verses 23. So then call he them and lodge them. He took them in. And on the next day, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied them. And the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends, all his family and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up. I myself also am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, "Ye know that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Yehudim, a Jew, to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But Elohim have showed me that I should not call anyone common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore what intent ye have set for me." Verse 30, and Cornelius said, "4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer is heard, and your alms are had in remembrance in the sight of Elohim. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto you. Immediately therefore I sent to you, and you has well done that you are come. Now therefore are we all here present before Elohim to hear all things that are commanded you of Elohim." Verse 34, and Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that Elohim is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. The word which Elohim sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Yahushua, he is sovereign of all." Oh, the word which Elohim sent unto the children of Israel, preaching by Yeshua, Messiah, he is Lord of all. Verse 37, that word, I say, you know, which was published by all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, the baptism of John, the baptism of repentance. Verse 38, how Elohim anointed Yeshua of Nazareth with the Ruach HaKodesh, with the Holy Spirit, and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for Elohim was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Yehudim and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on a tree. Him Elohim raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of Elohim, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of Elohim to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witnesses that through his name, whosoever believes in him shall receive remissions of sins. Amen. Let's go back and understand this. So 23, so we see in 23, after Peter greeted them and acknowledged himself as the one that they were seeking, he invites them in and he lodges them. And on the next day, Peter departed with and went away with them. And certain brethren of Joppa accompanied him. He did not go alone. So we should never serve alone as much as possible. Moses did not serve alone. No one serves alone. Only Elijah felt that way, and he really wasn't. But we don't serve alone. That's why we need to seek each other out. Certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. That's why we need to work together. And I believe the text that Brother Richard read also had something to do with working together, if I remember correctly. Verse 24, and the morrow after they entered Caesarea. So they went by Tamar and they reached Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them. He was anticipating them. This was a serious matter for him. He didn't take this lightly. He was waiting. He was waiting for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. You see, brethren, when the Spirit drives me to tell you, let's find our brethren, that's what we need to do. Don't be afraid to invite your family. If you are being blessed in the fellowship that you're in, invite everyone you know who is seeking after righteousness. Not those that are scoffing and no, those that you know have need, that are seeking, invite them. So, and Cornelius awaited and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. We need to do the same. And Peter was coming in. Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet. Peter did not just tell him to. Peter took him up and said, I am myself, I am just a man. Don't bow down to me in any such way. And as he walked in, he went in and found many that were come together. That means Peter noticed this. He was amazed. He was impressed by this. He was thankful for this, that wow, all of these people, and found many that were come together. Why did many come together? Because Cornelius, a devout man, had gathered the many to hear the word of Elohim. They were come together, friends and family, kinspeople. And he said unto them, you know that is unlawful. So he acknowledged, he doesn't hide anything. This is why communication between brethren is important. Transparency is important. He clears the air. He said unto them, you know that it is unlawful thing for a man that is a Yehudim to keep company or come unto one of any other nation. That's Judaism, okay? That's the teaching of tradition. It's not the teaching of the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look through the Torah. Who built the temple? Who helped build the temple? It was Gentiles who helped build the temple. Who gave Moses clarity? It was a Gentile. His father-in-law gave him clarity how to administer justice, how to judge the people. You will see that all throughout Scripture, righteous Gentiles are always involved. So this concept of not dealing with Gentiles at all is wrong. It's not the Torah of Elohim. And non-contradicting, he quotes, but Elohim have showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So we have to be careful about what we believe from the traditions of Judaism. Judaism and the faith of Scripture are not the same thing. Just like Roman Catholicism and Christian and the true faith, new covenant faith are not the same thing. You understand? They're not. These are man-made things based on the religion, based on the true religion. They take parts of it and deceive with it. Verse 29. So we must be careful about what we do and where we learn it. And we need to be careful about our own traditions. There are things that we believe and we've never questioned. When we come to faith, we have to reevaluate everything we've learned. We'll be surprised how much error that's in there. Error leads to more error. Error blinds the eyes. Error will keep you from understanding other things. So we must evaluate ourselves also. Think about what is it we've learned. Like when we were among the whatever religion or non-religion we were in, what did we believe that we're carrying over into the faith? That's what happened to Peter. Peter has been with Messiah for how long? Messiah could have, but Messiah didn't. Messiah didn't tell him there's an appointed time for everything. And this was the appointed time for Peter to learn this. And we need to check ourselves. What is it we believe, and make sure that the things we believe are according to Scripture? Because much of the stuff we've learned in Protestantism, especially in teachings, are wrong, in doctrine are wrong. The overall ideas are approximately correct, but the details are often wrong. So check out what you've learned from the past. So therefore, I came without any doubt, without questioning, as soon as I was sent. For I asked, therefore, what intent have you sent? So he's saying, knowing this, not by his tradition, but by what Elohim revealed to him through the Spirit, he said, now I came to you without any qualms, because Elohim told me. So then he asked, why have you called for me? The Spirit purposely did not tell Peter, so they could have this honest, sincere dialogue, which is what Elohim will use to draw each other. And Cornelius, 4 days, and Cornelius explains himself, right? And how he was told to call for Simon. Cornelius told Simon everything that he experienced. And immediately he called for Peter. Then Peter opened his mouth in verse 34. Of a truth. Now this is a double confirmation for him. He says, of a truth, I perceive that Elohim is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that fears him and worketh righteousness is accepted by him. That's a doctrine we must make sure we understand. It'll save us from a lot of mistakes. Okay? Hear the words that the Apostle Peter came to understand. Of a truth, I perceive that Elohim is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that fears him and does works righteousness is accepted with him. Has nothing to do with religion. Cornelius, what was his religion? He was a Roman centurion, but he feared Elohim and was a righteous man. And he was accepted of Elohim. So before we condemn the ancients in the other, quote unquote, religions, be careful and hear me carefully. I'm not espousing other religions. I'm saying we must look at the teachings, the understanding of the nations in light of this scripture. Whoever does righteousness is accepted, fears Elohim, and does what is accepted of Elohim. Look at our own faith. Our faith is a true faith, but pagans had corrupt versions of it, had corrupted the faith, right? Look at Moses. Look at, again, the matter of the snake. Elohim told them to make the image of the snake, too, but then they corrupted themselves and made it into an image that worshipped, and Elohim just got rid of it. Look at Bethel. So in the nations, Elohim gives them knowledge, too. Jethro is a perfect example of that, that dealt with Moses. He gives them knowledge. Jethro was a servant of Elohim, not of some pagan Elohim. No, he was the servant of Elohim in Midian. Did he have necessarily all the knowledge that would be given to Israel? Not necessary, but he knew of Elohim and he was a servant of Elohim. That's why Elohim directed his path to go and live with Jethro. That's why he directed his path to marry Jethro's daughter. Elohim guided his path. So Elohim sent him to the house of one of his servants. And one of his servants, in the hard times of Moses, a Gentile person, gave Moses, the lawgiver, quote unquote, instructions. Think about that. Moses was instructed by a Gentile. The temple was helped being built by Hiram, a Gentile. So don't dismiss the knowledge that's in the world. We have, with a discerning spirit, by the Spirit of Elohim, discern truth where it is, because there's a lot of truth in these religions that are out there, because originally, some were started by righteous men, but later corrupted by their followers. Just like Nicholas was a righteous man, but his followers became corrupt. Paul was a righteous man, and many of his many in Corinth became corrupt. The works of John was a righteous man, but many in the seven congregations became corrupted and had to repent. That's how we have to understand. Not that we should go about trying to learn the truth from Gentile sources, but we need to be careful to discern when a Gentile source probably has information that was of the truth. We have to be very careful about that, because there's a lot that's out there in the Gentile scriptures that's true and beneficial. And you will see that as we continue and go, and you will see such things in the scriptures themselves. Let's move on. So I'll end here. So he says, but in every nation, he that fears him works and works righteousness is accepted of him. Verse, and the word which Elohim sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Yeshua Messiah, he is the sovereign of all. This is again what I try to mention about with the angel and the mystery of Elohim, as we saw throughout the scriptures in the book of Corinthians, Ephesians, and Revelations, that there was something being preached, that Yeshua came to fulfill for all nations. It was a mystery, and it was a great mystery, but it was that Elohim is no respecter of persons. He intends to save all, for whoever does righteousness in his sight is accepted of him. And that word, I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how the anointed Yeshua, the anointed Savior of Nazareth, with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for Elohim was with him to draw all men. All shall be drawn unto him. So, dear brethren, I stop here. Right, let me summarize. So what Peter learned in a very impactful way was that Elohim was saving all people. This is the point. It was a mystery even to Peter. So this was revealed to him here in solid by a vision, by the teaching of the Spirit, and by the recollection of the deeds of Messiah. So now he knows the mystery itself. So that's when he came to understand the mystery. And in the account of John in Revelations, the book of Revelations chapter 10, that mystery was about to be fulfilled, not revealed. It's a time for it to be fulfilled. So I stop here, and we will continue next Sabbath with what Cornelius learned. Thank you for listening, dear brethren.